T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very interesting doings around the AFC North. I'll say that. So good for us that we have Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Sun.
We're hitting a daily double here. We had Tony Grossi with all the Browns fiasco last week. Now we can get to what's happening with the Ravens.
Perhaps we'll get to the Bengals tomorrow, Ron. You like that idea?
I like that idea.
We'll hit the whole division.
They seem to be a little more of a less drama than the other
teams. When did the Bengals become the model of stability in the AFC North? When did that happen?
A very good question.
All right, let's go to Jonas. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Appreciate you joining us, Jonas. And the headline on your story from 2 days ago is, as OTAs get underway, Lamar Jackson and his contract status, again among Ravens' most interesting storylines. I'll raise my hand here and say I'm a little bit perplexed on the whole Jackson contract situation there. He seems to want to do his own deal. Everybody's trying to figure out, is he angling for free agency someday? Is he angling for a Deshaun Watson deal? What's happening here? And is him being out of OTAs some sort of message to somebody?
I think it's a message. I just don't know what it is. There's so little information about this. The Ravens obviously do a good job of kind of locking down their fortress information-wise. Lamar doesn't have an agent, and the person that he's closest with, his mom, obviously doesn't do media. So a lot of this just ends up as speculation. But what we know is that, you know, Lamar has said that he wants to remain in Baltimore. He wants to sign a long-term extension. Ravens officials have said that they want to sign into a long-term extension. But for whatever reason, even though the Ravens officials have reached out to Lamar to try to engage him, for whatever reason, a lot of the time he just doesn't pick up the phone. And so it kind of came to a head this week with, you know, despite Lamar having said that at the end of last season, actually after that second Steelers loss, you know, the one thing I really want to get back to is just hanging out with my team, building some chemistry, getting what we were denied during the COVID, you know, situations. He doesn't show up, and we don't know when he'll show up. It's possible he shows up next week with a bunch of other veteran guys who are, you know, kind of coming back for that second week of OTAs. But it's a bit of a unique, messy situation, because yesterday, you know, John Harbaugh, for really the first time for a Ravens official, was a little bit terse about this whole Lamar situation. You kind of tell that he didn't want to have to answer questions about where his star QB was or where this whole thing is headed. Obviously, he doesn't want the focus to be on that. He wants to be on focus on the field and who is actually there. And these are voluntary OTAs, but it's a little bit weird for Lamar to have this be the first OTAs that he misses, despite, again, him seemingly having a vested interest in showing up and maybe getting some deals done. Maybe going back to the negotiating table with Eric DaCosta here in Baltimore.
All right, so let's just get a couple of facts out of the way. He's playing under his fifth-year option, which is around, what, 20-some million?
23.
Have numbers been exchanged between him and the team at all? Is there a chance that he's already been insulted by an offer, something like that? Or do we have a feel for what the Ravens have in mind and what he has in mind?
Yeah, I think there's definitely been numbers exchanged. Eric DaCosta has talked about how this was, I believe, at the NFL Combine a couple months ago, that they had already met something like six times. So I don't think you have that many meetings with a guy who's eligible for an extension without actually, you know, discussing some ballpark offers. I don't know what they were. I don't know if the first or second or third offer, if we even got to a point where so blow that Lamar felt insulted. I don't know if he wants to be a the highest paid player in the NFL. I don't know if the Ravens want him to be the 15th highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But there's just so much stuff here that we don't really know. But I think it's fair to say that they have begun discuss contract terms. But again, Lamar doesn't have an agent. But I think any player in a situation should understand that this is a negotiating process. And just because the Ravens offer a certain number in February doesn't mean that they won't offer considerably more a couple of months later. So,
and lastly, lastly, fact check before I throw it to Ron. If they want, they have two tags they can put on him each of the next right. 2 years. So essentially they control him. He doesn't control them. They control him for this year and the next two, correct?
That's right. And, I think the Ravens on one hand might prefer it financially because, it's all about getting to that third contract. Obviously, you want, the closer you can get back to market and have that reset market, do everything it can to bump your price up, I think the better for your bank account. But the Ravens want some stability and having a situation be where it's 1 year contract after 1 year contract and then a mega deal is a little bit handcuffing for this Ravens front office because, again, you're trying to do all these spreadsheets and figure out how much money you have in a certain year. And the Ravens just don't have that knowledge right now going forward.
Well, you talk about a mega deal down the road. Even if they do one tomorrow, it's going to be a mega deal, correct? I mean, he's got to be just thrilled to death what Deshaun Watson got out of Cleveland, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I don't think the Ravens ownership is that thrilled. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably discussed it. But
all guaranteed, all guaranteed.
Yeah, when we went down to the NFL owners' meetings a couple months ago, Steve Bisciotti was, so far, I guess, been really the only NFL owner to raise some hackles about how, upset, how disappointed he was that Cleveland gave Deshaun Watson all that guaranteed money. And I don't know if it's a liquidity issue with the Ravens, having enough money to pay Lamar, because obviously I think all the guaranteed money that's in a contract has to be put in escrow as soon as the deal's done. The Ravens are pretty well off financially. But obviously giving as much money as the Cleveland did to Deshaun Watson poses a certain issue for guys who want to be copycats in this league. And again, I don't know if Lamar sees that and says, I want that as well, but it definitely raises another interesting variable in this whole situation.
Man, I'll say we have Jonas Schaefer of the Baltimore Sun on the Nemecol and Fan Hotline. So if you would take off your reporter cap and put on your opinion maker cap, I don't know if I can give Lamar Jackson $250 million guaranteed. I just don't know that I'd be willing to do that. How about you?
It really depends on what the framework of the deal is, guys. I mean, I haven't thought too much about what it would look like if Lamar got a Deshaun Watson type deal. Obviously, there are the concerns about injuries, which I think have only intensified since last season ended. But the most precious commodity in sports, I mean, as you guys know, is a franchise quarterback. How many teams have had a guy who's won an MVP as early in his career as Lamar? He's younger than Joe Burrow. I think that's something that people forget. And he's always going to be younger than Joe Burrow for as long as he plays in the NFL. So, I don't think the Ravens want to head back into the wilderness that Cincinnati was stuck in for so long, where you're just grasping at straws, trying to find a franchise quarterback and just striking out in the draft time and time again. But again, you don't want to throw, good money after bad if you aren't totally committed to building an offense or building a franchise around Lamar Jackson, not just on the field, but off the field as well. So I think the Ravens, from everything they've said publicly, would be totally fine with making Lamar Jackson one of the highest paid players in the NFL. Certainly the highest paid player in franchise history. But I just don't know I don't know what he wants, and I don't know under what terms he wants them.
Well, I saw Harbaugh spoke what you said yesterday and, said kind of nice to have his guys back, right? No team was hit by injuries, I don't think, quite like the Ravens were last year. It's got to be, I would think, an incredible sense of optimism down there. And is everybody key that they're going to count on healthy as of now?
They're working their way back. I think Marcus Peters is obviously the biggest name among those guys. It sounds like his rehab from a torn ACL is going well. You know, I think the Ravens are optimistic that, he'll be ready for week one. The running back, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, I think it's a little bit more touch and go. You know, John Harbaugh said a couple months ago that both those guys could enter training camp on the physically unable to perform list. So that's why they took a running back in the draft. You know, that's why they signed Mike Davis for agency. Not exactly huge signings, but I think this Ravens offense can do, you know, a reasonably good job with Lamar in there, just kind of, you know, helping with the rushing offense. But, you know, Ronnie Stanley, obviously another guy who's going to be drawing a lot of attention coming back from, you know, two or three ankle surgeries, which have really limited him. Ravens are optimistic there as well, but, you know, they were optimistic enough last year to play him in week one against Vegas, and he just did not hold up really well and obviously was sidelined for the rest of the year. So they've got more insurance there, I think, than they did last year when they just really couldn't block anyone and couldn't keep Lamar healthy. But there's still a huge amount of question marks, I think, over some of the biggest names in Baltimore.
Wow. That's a little different than I expected. I thought you were going to say to Ron's question, yes, all hands on deck, ready to go. I mean, those are – and now I'm looking at some other stories. These are lingering. What about Bowser? He's a good player coming off the Achilles.
Yeah, he definitely is. I think he's making some good progress from that Achilles. I think the technology and the success of Achilles tendon surgeries is just remarkably better than it was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, you know, kind of a, you know, fringe player, but Justice Hill, who's a third string running back for the Ravens, tore his Achilles in September, and he was cleared to practice yesterday, which is about 9 months. So if you kind of apply that same timetable to Tyus Bowser, maybe he's close to 100% by September or by October, which would obviously mean that he's not missing a whole lot of time. But, you know, you've also got David Ajabo, the second-round pick from Michigan, another edge rusher that they're counting on to make an impact, if not this year, then at least at some point. Also dealing with an Achilles tendon tear. So, you know, this team is, don't have to tell you guys, that they had one of the worst injury seasons in NFL history. And obviously they're still dealing with the follow-up from that, but they're doing everything they can to get these guys healthy and then ready for the season up ahead.
One other Lamar question, Jonas. I mean, what's the court of a public opinion? What are you hearing down there from the fans and the guys on the street? Are they pay him whatever he wants, or what's that story like?
Yeah, I think there's a huge love affair with Lamar because of what he's brought to the franchise. I think people are willing to overlook some of his postseason shortcomings just because, you know, I think there's a lot of acrimony toward the offensive coordinator here in Baltimore, Greg Roman. Obviously, the situation with Hollywood Brown and him wanting out of town to go to a more pass-happy situation, I don't think did Greg Roman any favors, but yeah, I mean, I think Ravens fans, you know, for a franchise that's been so starved for a quarterback who can get to a Pro Bowl, you know, with all due respect to Joe Flacco, who's great in the postseason, but never really risen to the kind of levels that Lamar has set. So I think there's an eagerness to get a deal done. I think there's a willingness to say, you know, hey, Lamar, here's a blank check. Put whatever number you want there. But obviously, that's not how deals get done in the NFL. That's not how Eric DaCosta works. But it's a tough, you know, tough rope to navigate, guys. You know, you don't want to throw away your future with someone as beloved as Lamar. But if you don't believe that whatever he wants is the right fit for this franchise financially, then you're going to, you know, enter a really tough situation coming ahead.
Is Owe injured too?
He's come. He was kind of limited in practice yesterday. He dealt with a foot injury toward the end of last year, and then he underwent shoulder surgery in late January.
Man. This is unbelievable, Ron. Every guy I mention on this team is coming off surgery.
We saw what happened to him last year.
I mean,
we haven't even mentioned Marlon Humphrey.
What's his deal?
Well, he was back. He was a full go yesterday.
Okay,
but he was remember he tore the pec in that wild game against Pittsburgh in week 12, week 13, and missed the end of the season after that.
Well, that leads to an obvious question that I see has been already broached by Harbaugh: is the way that they practice and train. That he met with his strength and conditioning staff and vowed to make changes. Is that accurate? And you might already see them. It says here anyway, in the story I'm reading, in OTAs, have you?
Yeah, I think, you know, it was tough to tell really yesterday, just how different things were. Obviously it's a bit of apples and oranges because again, there's no live contact. You're not really doing anything to put these guys in situations where they are more likely to tear a ligament or you know, break something. But, you know, Ravens players talked about how they're stretching more. There was no change to the strength and conditioning staff, at least at the top. There was a change to the head athletic trainer. Steve Saunders, who's the strength and conditioning coach, is also the guy who was responsible in some ways for the COVID outbreak that happened in Baltimore a couple of years ago. So there was, some misgivings about keeping him around, especially after how last year unfolded. But he's very tight with John Harbaugh. He's got a great reputation for building guys up physically. And, I think the Ravens in some ways are just chalking up last year just to a lot of bad luck. I mean, ACLs are pretty finicky, and obviously you have to have the right amount of musculature around them to really protect them. But the Ravens have been among the healthiest teams in previous years. So, some years it feels like you get every break, and other years you're the Ravens in last year and just didn't really get a whole lot of good luck.
One last quick question, Jonas. Harbaugh has not been afraid to make changes on his staff, coaching staff, has he? Obviously with, I guess, Wink Martindale, the big guy, moving on, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Wink Martindale actually went up to, was doing media today with the Giants reporters there and said that departure from Baltimore was mutual. I think there's probably a little bit more of a push from the Ravens than he'd like to admit publicly. But after how last year ended, going from a perennial top five, top 10 defense to one of the worst defenses in the NFL, obviously did not reflect well on him. A lot of injuries that he, could point to. But again, even when they were relatively healthy, they were not a great unit. So they brought in Mike McDonald, a guy who had a great year at Michigan last year, former Ravens assistant, a young guy who's maybe going to be a little bit more flexible, not rely on man-to-man coverage as much as Wink did. Get a little bit more creative, and he's going to have a lot of help. The secondary, when healthy, is going to be awfully talented, and I think the Ravens, for the most part, have built their defense from the back to the front, and they're going to have a lot of flexibility and a lot of talent to get what they want to get done this year.
45 seconds left. This was a good conversation, very enlightening. It sounds to me like the Ravens' biggest question marks are at wide receiver and edge rusher, and yeah. In a passing league, that doesn't sound healthy.
Well, they didn't have great wide receivers in 2019. There was a lot of tight ends, and they still ended the year with the NFL's best offense, best scoring offense. And I think we might see a similar sack this year, especially with Mark Andrews becoming the full-on stud that he is. But edge rusher is a concern, man. Adafi Owe at this point is pretty much their only healthy starting-level edge rusher. They might bring back Justin Houston on a short, cheap deal, which would be, I think, good help for them. But it's a lot of relying on the interior pass rush to improve and Ty Spouser to get back healthy. And, we just don't know what that will look like in 4 or 5 months.
Jonas, we appreciate all the time, man. We'll talk again.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Wow.
I didn't realize the injuries were still that much lingering. That
I don't like the vibe.
Could go into camp and even into the start of the season.
Ronnie Stanley, Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins. He just said that Owe is their only healthy starting level edge rusher.
Well, season's still 4 months away, but you want to start.
Yeah, but Bowser's
him,
coming off Achilles.
You want to see him get healthy. There's no doubt, and maybe they're not done bringing people in yet either. Although, where are you going to find an edge rusher now?
Well, he mentioned Justin Houston. Maybe I don't know. I don't like the vibe around Baltimore with the Lamar thing. The injury's still not solved. That's a team the Steelers could absolutely finish ahead of. Ron, I'll tell you what I think next, and I want to hear what you think about the AFC North. What we know now, as we sit here right now, Deshaun Watson, Lamar, Bengals, Steelers, how we would pick them. And we'll get Tim involved as well. Nobody knows who I'm talking about when I say Tim.
Nobody knows.
Do you think that one could fly, Tim?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
No? How about Slim?
That's got more of a chance.
Ron, initial reaction. Don't let your brain do any work. Your initial gut reaction to Slim.
Maddie, we got to go to a commercial here.
All right, Folsy. We will.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, it's not exactly breaking news that the Steelers are big in this town, right?
Yeah, they're okay.
Let me tell you something. I just went and, well, first talked to the vending machine guy. Wonderful man. Loves the show.
Is there a problem?
No. Okay. Loves the show. I was watching with great interest as he filled all the little rows with product.
Speaking of which, I got a story too, but go ahead. Now you kicked my memory.
Okay. Potato skins, he said, are a big seller. Never would have guessed.
Like a bag of them in the vending machine.
Yes, big seller. Potato skins, Ron. I asked him if he could ever have corn fritters back there. He said he would check at the home office. Maybe
How about pork rinds?
Pork rinds would be big. What was I just telling? Oh, and then I went back and talked to Craig, our boss. Cornelius was back there, which might lead you to believe which Cornelius, or say which Cornelius. This one is Ben, the video guy. You know him?
Yeah, I do.
Got engaged in a conversation with those two. Cornelius put out a video 2 days ago, I believe, like a 20-second video, if that long, of Najee Harris. Did you see this one? Going through a blocking dummy.
He looks like an absolute man.
And then somebody put a pad in front of him, an elongated pad, like the size of a big plank or something, and he burst through that. Like, not exactly the most riveting stuff in the world, although he does look bigger.
But the guys that are over there watching this have just been raving about his physique.
Guess how many views? Guess how many views on Twitter? Tim, you can get involved in this. Views on Twitter 2 days ago of Najee Harris doing a running back drill for 20 seconds. Take a guess in 2 days. Ron?
Probably 10 million the way you're building it up. But a high number. I don't know. What's a high number? 10,000?
200,000 hits.
Wow. Just to watch him do nothing, basically.
For the other day, Cornelius put out a Kenny Pickett handoff video.
Uh-huh.
Kenny Pickett handing the ball to somebody. 6-second video. Same day, 120,000 hits on Twitter. That's what we're talking about here.
It's the popularity is unbelievable.
But I digress.
You can't give people enough.
I digress. You have a vending machine story.
Not a vending machine story, but it just happened this morning. And I go to my little Giant Eagle. I got a bagel to go. So I'm walking towards the bagels. I see these two women standing there talking. I excuse myself. I walk by, got my little bag, put my bagel, and I turned around. There's only one of the women left.
What kind of bagel, Ron?
Asiago cheese. I love those.
I didn't expect to hear that. Did
I
you,
know.
Tim?
I love
I
those.
Didn't either.
I expected sesame, cinnamon raisin.
He
drops
Asiago
an Asiago cheese.
What's the matter with that?
Nothing at all.
Sophisticated bagel.
Sophisticated is a great word for that.
All right. So let me finish my story.
I'm sorry.
So there's only one of the women left. And I turn around and we made eye contact. She goes, I love your show, by the way. And I go, oh, thank you. She goes, I listen all the time. She goes, I'm from Rochester. And I'm thinking, Rochester, Pennsylvania. I go, well, I'm from Beaver Falls, right almost side by side.
Yes.
She goes, no, Rochester, New York. I love hearing Joe talk about Buffalo.
Wow.
So I said, thank you very much. It was very nice of you to mention. But she mentioned you by name and said she loves our show.
Perhaps you two could go on a date and I could chaperone.
I don't know if I didn't notice if she had a wedding ring on. I didn't even notice. I was so stunned when she said she was from Rochester. And I immediately, I'm from Beaver Falls. That's not the Rochester I'm talking
about. Who would have thunk that she was talking about Rochester, New York?
But then she
from
said,
a
I
giant
love
eagle.
Joe talking about Buffalo.
That's heartening to hear. It truly is. Tim, I felt like I ignored you for a moment there. I solicited an answer from you, and then it never came, and then I moved on, and I was wondering if I hurt your feelings. Ron, I've drank way too much coffee today. I'm not even coherent right now. I'm not.
How do we know the difference?
And I just moved on from Tim again in the midst of apologizing for moving on from him, which is the definition of irony. Tim, go ahead.
I don't know if I like Tim.
No? Yeah. All right, we won't use that. That's the first time you've been
that I've actually come down with an opinion.
What he's trying he's trying to say no Tim, is that what he's saying?
Which for Maddie, if you get an I don't know if I like Tim, that means inside he's very angry about
he's
this.
He's screaming about it.
I will move on from Tim. You've made that clear. And the fact that you've made that clear will cause me to move on from Tim. No more Tim.
All right.
Slim?
Jeez. Slim's a little better.
Can we try it out?
If you want.
See, I think you're confusing the listeners. You're bouncing all over the place.
No,
you don't even know who you're talking about.
I know. Well, half the time they don't know that anyway.
Well, that's what I said. When you said you're incoherent, I said, how would we know? Is this any different than any other day?
I'll give you guys the Twitter poll question that I put out there, and you can both answer it now. And that's the one I'll use for the rest of the show. It was, well, Tim's off the table now. Folsey, Maddie, or Ollie? Choose one, Ron.
I like Maddie.
Maddie.
It's easy.
I agree.
All right. It'll be Maddie. I mean, it doesn't seem exciting, but it seems, I guess, natural.
Well, you wimped out on Folsey because a couple people expressed their dislike of it. Again, you listen to the outside noise.
I know.
You know, you're so sensitive to the outside noise.
Yeah.
The hell with the outside noise. Do what you think is best.
Folsey, at its essence, though, is attached to a different person, right? It's attached to horse, really.
But so are you. That's the whole point.
You're a young horse.
Horse's successor.
You're a young horse.
You're a foal. And this is like a hockey locker room, so we added the little hockey touch. You're Folsey. But I was really excited about trying out Ollie today. No
Ollie's
chance?
Not bad.
Yeah. Ron, did you watch Land of the Lost with Kukla, Fran, and Ollie?
I did not.
Who's the most famous Ollie in sports history? Ollie Matta? Ollie Matson?
Ollie Matson, I was thinking.
Anyone else?
Ollie Matta. That's a good one, too.
Kevin Ollie?
Kevin Ollie. That might be the one.
Ollie.
You can't beat Ollie Matson. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he is.
I don't feel well. What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
What were we supposed to talk about?
We were talking about the AFC North you wanted
that's
to go
right.
to.
Yes.
And the Steelers' popularity. And then we were going to go into the AFC North.
Why don't we do that next? Because that discussion with Jonas Schaefer really opened my eyes.
Well,
I don't
how about
know.
The one last week with Grossi about all the stuff that's going on with the Browns?
It's incredible, the dysfunction.
The Bengals are now the most functional outfit in the division.
Yes, it's the most dysfunctional division maybe in the league right now, which I think helps the Steelers, who have a share of their own, granted. But I'm starting to change my mind here about how I view this division. Let's talk about that next on Cook and Joe. It's 11:39, good time for an insurance checkup by the Buell Insurance Agency. Fan Hotline presented by Nemacolin around every corner. Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. You can text us on the Egger, Snyder & Associates fan text line. I still have to write today, Ron. It just hit me. I haven't written my column yet.
You haven't done
yet.
I got to write today, too. But
I don't feel like it.
You're usually done by now.
Give me a topic.
No. I have enough trouble coming up with them myself.
Sorry. Ron, I know some people are getting highly aggravated, but we need to wrap this up. I got a text from a friend that said, Folsey's greater than Tim, greater than Maddie. You got a text from a friend as well, right?
Yeah, it said... this show is out of control without horse. Tim can handle you, too.
And then the final results of my Twitter poll. At 9:23 a.m., I put out into the world, Folsey appears to be getting mixed reviews as a nickname for Matt Cole. May I interest you in Ollie or Tim? Please respond. Four choices, Ollie, Folsey, Tim, or Maddie. Maddie with a resounding win at 57.7%, but the big news to me is that everybody finished in double figures, followed by Folsey at 21%, and then pretty much a dead heat between Ollie and Tim. Maddie himself has nixed Tim the first time he truly spoke up.
He did.
He does not want to be called Tim. So we won't, okay? I'll honor that, although I have to admit part of me is attached to that.
I'm thinking Folesy. I said Maddie earlier, but Folesy, you've backed off because you've had two critics. You can't handle two critics.
Paul Alexander.
Whatever you think is best.
Yes. I like and respect both Paul and Shelby Cassese.
I like them too, but I don't
and
have
it
to
brought
agree
me down.
With them.
I know, so, but I let people bring me down
only
too
suggestion.
Easily.
Let's get done with this topic. Let's decide on a name. Let's not flip it over six times in the same segment.
Well, but
let's
then,
make one. You call them one thing, and then it's 2 seconds later, another thing, then another thing. Let's decide on it and stick with it.
Somebody,
whatever you want, let's stick with it.
Somebody named the mayor weighed in and said.
Maybe it's Sean Casey.
And said, just call him Matt. That was his only tweet. Just call him Matt. And then someone else said, please use all four interchangeably and without warning. That's a man named Jim Hanley.
Now, I'm disagreeing with that. I think we need to settle. This topic has gone on too long.
That I agree with, actually. So, okay, we'll keep all this in mind. Meantime, Jonas Schaefer just blew my mind in that interview. I mean, I didn't realize that so many of these injuries for the Ravens were lingering. We're talking about Ronnie Stanley, the left tackle.
How many? Three ankle surgeries,
yeah,
did he say?
Yeah, one of the best players in the league at his position. Maybe opening day. Marcus Peters trying to get him ready for opening day. J.K. Dobbins coming off a major knee. Owe coming off shoulder surgery, and now it has a foot issue at the beginning of OTAs. He's their only, and stands to be, their only healthy NFL-level edge rusher, depending on Tyus Bowser, who's coming in with an Achilles and is still on the shelf. I'm just stunned by this. Then you have the Lamar Jackson situation. What did you make of that, Ron? My conclusion, based on all available clues and Jonas's reporting, is that they have discussed numbers. Lamar's insulted by the numbers. How could he not? How could you not, if you're in this division and are a former MVP, go into your superior's offices and not say,
I'm starting with Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Right?
We're going to start there. $230 million guaranteed. And,
right.
then we can go from there. There's no other discussion, is there?
I wouldn't think from his standpoint.
Not from his standpoint.
Not from his standpoint.
That's what I think is happening. And for him, it's one thing. I don't like the fact that Deontay didn't show up here when he's the only guy on offense that we know of that wasn't here. Theoretically, and you have new quarterbacks, really a new offense.
He is the quarterback.
It's worse there.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers isn't showing up in Green Bay. I don't know. Is there other quarterbacks that maybe aren't showing up? I don't know. And he also speculated, the guy we talked to speculated maybe, he said there's some veterans that didn't come in this week that may come in next week.
Yeah.
And maybe Lamar will be among them. It's something to follow the whole time
through.
Yeah,
and I think with Rodgers, too. I don't like that. I like that Ben showed up here last year for whatever kind of shape he was in.
But learn a new offense.
Both
he was in
these
okay
guys.
Shape. I think he learned the offense.
I mean, shape as a 39, you know, whatever condition he was in as far as his career went, he was here. And I think Rodgers and Lamar should both be there with new receivers and new things happening.
I don't even know who Baltimore's receivers are.
Well,
they got the tight ends, obviously.
Yeah, and the kid they drafted last year.
Bateman, right.
Yes, Bateman.
But that's only one wide receiver.
I know.
You need four, right?
Yes.
They let, you know what, they blew it. They should have tried to sign Ray McLeod.
You're exactly right. Tim, do you know, I mean,
here we
is
go.
He here?
Here we
Where
go.
Where is he?
Here we go
I
again.
Didn't mean that,
I'm here.
I swear.
I'm here.
Do you know how many touchdowns, whether it's rushing, punt, kick returns, or receiving, Ray has in his career?
I
know he should have had one that Mason Rudolph bounced to him last year.
How many does
he
have?
I don't remember him scoring at all. Does he have one?
No, he doesn't.
I didn't think he did.
Zero. Do you know that this franchise goes back to a time when they were called the Pittsburgh Pirates under the Chief?
Yeah.
I've heard this before.
No jokes about how Ron was the original beat writer. We won't make any of those.
Thank you.
Of all the players who have caught, I think the stat was 60 or more, maybe it was 100 or more passes. Did you realize that Ray Ray had the lowest, including John Whitman, including Ryan Switzer, the lowest average yards per catch in the history of the franchise? Did you know that?
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't.
I mean,
what was the number?
6.0, I believe. Oh, Ron's grade point average from Northwestern with extra credit.
They kept throwing it to him, though.
Man, did they ever. They tried to turn him into Lynn Swan.
He didn't return a punt, did he? He had a couple long ones.
He had the long one against Tennessee.
But he didn't score, right?
Which is a long way of saying, via vending machines, nicknames, and Ray Ray McLeod, that, Ron, I'm picking the Steelers second in this division. The Browns is the Browns. Maybe the Ravens is the Browns. The Bengals are the class of the division right now.
So if we talk to somebody from Cincinnati tomorrow, they'll mention one or two problems, and then you all of a sudden have the Steelers winning the division.
Everybody has problems. Their biggest problem is that their schedule is going to
get like a lot harder.
A lot harder. But they're in relatively good shape. They have an incredibly explosive offense. They quietly rebuilt their offensive line in the offseason.
I don't even know if I'd say it was quiet. They went out and overhauled it.
Yeah, can you name any? I mean, no, I guess you always are, unless you're signing,
right,
like, you know, Marquise Pouncey or something to your line. You're doing it quietly.
They went out and spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And they already have a pretty good quarterback, running back, receivers, and everything else. They're the class of the division, in my opinion. They're going to win it as things stand now. The Steelers are going to finish second at 10-7. And then I think Browns, Ravens. I don't like the vibe in Baltimore. I just don't. I don't at all. Are you sticking with the Browns right now?
Man, it's so hard with Lamar, the Deshaun Watson thing up in the air. Man, there's so much pressure on Goodell, I think, to do something. I still think if he's four or less, they're going to win the division. Suspension.
Four or less games.
Right.
Yep.
Six,
there's no doubt.
Six is really pushing it.
They're talented. There's no arguing that. And you know what?
You know, they got a good offensive line, and they got those running backs. I'll take Nick Chubb over just about anybody.
And they brought in Amari Cooper.
I know the guy, you know, Indianapolis. Taylor's really good. I know what Derrick Henry does. Nick Chubb is a sensational running back.
Well, yeah, and what gives them the edge over the Steelers, like I'll put Najee Harris in his company if he had a real offensive line. They have Kareem Hunt as a backup running back. Who do the Steelers have?
They don't.
Benny Snell football. That's about it. And one thing the Browns did in the offseason that was significant, and I think both you and I were a little dubious on the Jadeveon Clowney signing last year. You actually look at his numbers. He had 11 tackles for loss, 9 sacks, his most since 2018, and a bunch of quarterback pressures and everything else sort of inside the numbers, and he was injury-free, pretty much, relatively injury-free. Played in 14 games. I think it was a big deal that they brought him back. He was very productive last year. So I hear you when you talk about the Browns. They have a chance to be really good. I think Deshaun Watson is a superstar.
When he's healthy,
when all this other stuff.
Seeing all the videos of him, their OTAs. He is there, by the way.
Yeah.
And they're saying looking tremendous. Now, again, it's football in shorts, but he's completing these passes deep down the field to the wide receivers.
I mean, what I always say with him is the last time we saw this guy on the field, he played for a horrific team, and he led the league in touchdown to interception ratio, in completion percentage at over 70. He's a superstar. Do you agree with that, Folsy?
Yes, I do agree with that, actually.
I mean, put this guy on a team. Now, I don't know about the Browns receiving situation. I don't. But put him on a team like this with a really good line, a really good running game, and who knows what he'll get from Cooper and the other guys there.
You still can't get past the Browns is the Browns.
No, I can't.
I know it. I'm seeing you across the table here.
I'm allowing for the chance that they could be great. I'm allowing for that chance that an injured Baker with all his drama. Of course, Deshaun's brought some himself.
Yeah. Still not. You see, a couple of the women were on TV the other night, you know, just saying it's disgusting that the Browns committed to this guy, this kind of money.
It's ridiculous.
It's a he said, she said deal.
Well, it's 22. saying it compared to him.
These were just two on the air the other night, I guess. But it's a mess. It is a mess. And I don't know how it's going to end up for the Browns.
And strictly from a football perspective, if he's on the field for 13 or more games, I'm with you. I think four is the magic number there.
Right.
They'll have a good chance. They will. But right now I'm picking the Steelers second. All right, Ron. Some interesting developments in Pirates country. I will say this. Like I said yesterday, I'm an easy man to please these days when it comes with the Pirates. To the Pirates. I just want to watch young guys out there and start to analyze them and start to be able to see them day by day. I didn't know who Cal Mitchell was 5 days ago, but I liked his debut.
3 days ago.
I've started to read about him. I'm interested in watching a 23-year-old out there. No offense to Vogie, but I'm not that interested in watching him anymore or guys of his ilk that you bring in just to trade.
Vogie's actually been entertaining.
He's pretty entertaining, but I'm ready to move on. So was what's his name from last year?
Who
was the guy they brought in last year? Legendary for about 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The big first baseman.
Yes. Who was it?
Came from St. Louis.
Folsey.
John. Was it John?
John.
Something?
Who was it?
Oh, gosh. It had a ski at the end of his name.
The big Grabowski.
He did have a ski. The big Grabowski.
The big Grabowski. What was his name?
What was his actual name, though?
Something
who
like
cares? It.
Something
he was a legend.
Like, he was a legend.
But having said that,
got like four hits his first two games and then didn't get any in the next 30.
I'm ready for the infiltration of younger players, even if some of them don't turn out. And that's what you're starting to see. Contreras the other day, maybe a future number one. So let's ask, do you have Mackey coming up next?
Yes, sir.
Let's ask him which one of these guys might be for real and who we can expect next. Let's do that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.